Dirty hands means clean theology. Can you dig it?
What is going on, all my local guys and gals and long distance pals?
We are back.
Indeed, indeed.
Still missing our friendly neighborhood Sasquatch, but you know,
you didn't get the memo.
I did.
I fired him.
Oh, you fired him?
Yeah, a Donald Trump team, man.
He's been hiding in the woods too long. But missing Ben as always, it seems. But keep pushing on, keep plugging in. I'm excited, man. This is always fun. You know, every time we get together, we get to talk. I learn more. I grow. You know, my faith has been monumentally bolstered by doing this show, by being around the people that we've met, people that we talk to, and everybody's got something different to bring to the table. And we won't dive into it yet, but our guest today is definitely another one of those guys. So, Justin, if you'd like to kick us off with some prayer.
Yeah, sure. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for today, and thank you for all the many blessings that you give, because each and every single one is a blessing beyond what we have earned. And I've said it many times, thank God, thank you for not giving us what we deserve, because we deserve death and destruction. And just so thankful for that, and for every single breath we take, because none are promised, Father. We take that for granted. Thank you for this time together in fellowship. Thank you for giving us a platform to discuss your word, your effects and movements through people's lives, and living in a free country to dive through your word and do these things, Father. We're grateful. And also just thankful for all the listeners that bring us into their homes. You know, me and Steve take for granted a lot of times that, you know, we are trusted to come into people's homes and fellowship with them and their family. We're thankful for that. We pray a blessing over the listeners, Father, and that our words be edifying to you. But we just thank you, Father. I know I've said that several times, but I'm just thankful, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Love it. Love it. It's like, you know, where two or three are gathered in his name, he's in the midst of you. And you know, you feel him come in when you get together to talk about things like this. It's powerful. So,
yeah. And today's episode, man, I'm excited for, because we tell you guys all the time, if you got a testimony, if you got a story, you know, whether it's a supernatural testimony or how God's working in your life, or if you're a researcher, an author, you know, hey, reach out to us. You know, our email is, you know, thedig423@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, have you on the show. And this is a direct result of that. So, you know, we get a few emails from time to time, but this is honestly the first or maybe second time it's I can count it on one hand that an actual listener reached out to us, and we're bringing them on the show today. So I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. I am excited. Well, if you want to go ahead, introduce our guest, and let's see where this crazy ride takes us today.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, like I said, I was going through the emails and had an email from a listener, and was explaining how they've been listening to the show and digging in. They've been enjoying it, and they had just finished a project, and that they were a writer, and they wanted to share the work with me and take a look at it. And I was like, well, sure, you know. And I was, you know, in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, well, we have another cool Nephilim, you know, story, or Genesis 6 kind of thing. And it's kind of in that vein. But he's like, no, he said, I do comic books. And I was like, oh, all right, man. And he's like, I just wrote this book called Five Stones. He said, and it's in comic book form. He said, and it's the story of David and Goliath. He said, but with all the scripture tied in and the weird things that they're not talking about behind the pulpit. And I was like, yeah, man, definitely. So he was kind enough to send this over to me. Here's the front cover, guys. And it's got all kinds of just awesome artwork, man. You know, if you have young adult kids, teenagers, or even teenagers at heart. They're going to love this thing. But I'd like to just welcome to the show and talk about this topic in his new book is Adam Ferris. Adam, thank you, man. I appreciate the book and your time to come talk to us.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you very much for bringing me on. Pretty surreal to be on here now from just listening to you guys. Be honest with you. Pretty crazy.
Listen, man, I've never written a comic book, so it's surreal talking to a comic book guy. I mean, you got to think about this, and the only difference is that, you know, we're all doing what we're called to do, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, yeah.
I just want you to open up and kind of give us a background of where you come from and how you got to here.
Okay. So, real quick, you know, Adam Ferris, appreciate the introduction, appreciate interest in the book. Born and raised Pentecostal Christian. About 17, left the church and, you know, went through life and stuff like that. Well, we get to the end of 2022. At that point, I've been a distribution center manager for about 14 years. Career guy, career focused, got wife, kids, mortgage, you know, doing the thing. And was at this point in my career, I was managing union. And it was really wearing me out for the people that are on the other side of the union. They'll feel me. It's beat me up. And I was getting some career fatigue and kind of questioning things and, you know, just going through it in my 40s. So I guess that's normal. So, coincidentally, listening to a lot of the Stoic stuff, you know, Jordan Peterson, you know, just learning, you know, and the point was, you know, I was born and raised Christian, but at this point, you know, I'm an adult. We're not active. I'm just kind of just going through life and whatnot. So Jordan Peterson had an interesting quote. It was talking about strength, and he was talking about you really want to be strong, be the strongest man, be the strongest person at your father's funeral. I don't know if you guys heard that quote, but coincidentally, it stood out to me. And, you know, I went to work, was telling my guys at work, oh, yeah, you know, da da da, talking about strength. I was just trying to, you know, build my team and whatnot. Well, about a week or two later, my father passed. So obviously, I figured out why I heard that, you know, God had put that in my path clearly. And it was one of those things where, I was there, you know, I got the call. I had to come to the hospital and be there with them and was there with my mother. And then, you know, we went back to the house and we got the phone call, please come back. He didn't make it. And, what do you do? You know, I'm the youngest. I've got an older brother. I've got a, not a big family, not really super close. And I'm 2 hours away, you know, my wife and kids here at house, I'm in Lynchburg. And, what do? You're right there at it. You're right there facing it. So all that kept going through my head was that Jordan Peterson quote. And then, you know, I even emailed, I know he probably never saw it, but I emailed Jordan Peterson, was like, man, your quote got me through it, man. But yeah, I sucked it up, was there for my mom. You know, got through the funeral, was impossibly difficult having to pick out things and not ball, you know, I just had to be the rock. So I got through it, got my family through it. And then of course I started cracking, you know, it was probably 2 or 3 months into it. We went to Disneyland and it just smashed me. And a lot of stuff obviously started piling up. And then I just had to take a little bit of time off. I took 2 months off to just clear my head and it was super tough. And a job opportunity came across and it was absolutely perfect. Absolutely. Point of all this was like, I've never done comic books or anything. I was just a career guy at this point, 100% never done anything like this in my life. So anyways, job opportunity comes across and it's perfect. Has a lot of opportunities for me, for my family, just, it was perfect. And I'll explain, but, and I knew that it was from God. I could tell. And I said, you know what? I feel like you've been knocking. I feel like this has been going on for a while. I'm down. Whatever it is, you know, I'm the guy now. My father's passed. You know, I've got a lot of responsibility now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Whatever it is, we'll do it. So, I got to backtrack a hair. I forgot to mention. So right around, like right before my father passed, writing was really on my heart for some odd reason. Obviously, I can't say odd because we know why. But it was really, really on my heart. And that was when I was going through trying to figure stuff out. And I was Googling how to write a script. Cause I just want to write for some reason. And then every once in a while, I would have this thought of like David and Goliath. Like just that would just, you know, you'd be doing something. I'd be doing something and just David and Goliath. I didn't know what it was. So anyway, so there I am. I've done giving in. Told God I'm down. So then I start trying to figure out what it is that I can do. And I think about Aaron and Moses, you know, at this time was because I didn't feel like I had a voice. I didn't know what I could do. Had no idea. If I was led to be a preacher, I would be. I don't feel like that's who I am. So it was like, what can I do? So, you know, I started thinking about what I enjoy, which is MCU. I'm a big comic book guy. I like the Marvel movies. I was thinking about that. And then I was thinking about how there's not a lot of really good content out there in that light. And then I started thinking about the whole David and Goliath thing. So I'm like, all right, well, I guess that's what you've been telling me to do. Let's do it. So yeah, I just had to figure it all out, the entire step. And there's a lot of crazy stuff that I do want to share with you guys of things that happened through this, of what I learned. So, but just in a nutshell, my father passed at a really hard time in my life. And the calling was to put the word out. And that the form that it took was a comic book.
That's powerful, man. You always... It's something that I like to always make sure people understand is that everybody has a testimony, right? Everybody does. So whatever that testimony is, and some people can say they can say that it's not that big a deal, or they can have gone through something like you said, something very difficult that brought you to where you are. And God can use very terrible things and bring something amazing out of it on the other end. But when you talk about this and you bring out your testimony, I think it's so important that people hear this, because they have to understand that when they feel those nudges, when they feel that push, there's a reason. Like, don't ignore it. The Holy Spirit pushes on you. And the more that you ignore it, the more that you kind of hide behind that, all you're doing is postponing what God's plan is for you, how he can use you. And that's really our whole calling in our life. I mean, that's that whole Acts lifestyle. It's the Great Commission all over again. If God's pushing you to do something, and God's put things into your life that have inspired you, whether they're positive or negative, but they've inspired you one way or the other, don't hesitate. Jump on that. So I commend you on that. I think that's a pretty awesome thing that you followed through on what God's plan is for you. And the crazy part is, what God's plan is for you today, in 2 months, it could be something totally different. So you just have to be ready. You have to be aware, and you have to be listening. You pray and you listen. You pray and you listen. But I commend you on that. So I think that's pretty awesome.
I appreciate that. It was crazy. You know, so... Yeah, you get this calling, like to your point, and you either do it or you don't. And something that I've really learned through all this is like the gravity of not, you know, that's something that, like, unless you're like really, really deep into study and, you know, in your personal relationship with God, you may not know that. But to not act on faith, to not do what you're called to do. Again, I was told to write the David and Goliath book on purpose, I believe, because of the story of faith, because of what we're talking about, because of these conversations, because that's 1,000% the story, the point of that story. But like the gravity of that, And yeah, to not follow through, or to be like Gideon and keep asking for
another
signs. And then it comes back and it's like, all right, well, you're only going in with 300 now. And that's something that kept playing through my head this whole time. Cause there's a one time that I asked, wasn't, you know, doubt.
You broke out your sheepskin.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, you know what? I'm gonna tell you what. I'm human. I'm human as much as I would love to not be and make dumb mistakes. You know, I've tried. I do it a million times. One great thing that happened, one of the many things. So wrote the book. The artwork comes out, and it's, I was going for like a black and white Sin City kind of thing, and it cool.
Well, not to interrupt you, but just while you're on that subject, start to finish, what kind of timeline was you looking at with this book?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I start to finish, I would say probably a year and a half, like total, like absolute to total. So, I didn't say anything to anybody. I got my family, my kids, we're pretty close. So I kind of kept it a secret from my kids and my wife. And I didn't, you know, I was writing. I was Googling how to write a script, going back at comics to kind of get an idea of rhythm and stuff like that. And just writing. And eventually I got the confidence, faith, right? Eventually I got the confidence to bring it up to my wife and was like, hey, got something kind of crazy going on, kind of being led to do something. And, you know, we got a great relationship. My wife's my best friend. She, you know, that's something else too, is when God's working on you, he's working on the other person too. You know, it's a hand in hand, you know, you gotta be ready. And she was super down. It was incredible. You know what I mean? To just be like, yeah, hey, you know, let's see what's going on. And, anyway, so, where am I at? So talked to her about it, and then things started kind of getting rolling. I started reaching out for artists, kind of looking and, you know, I don't know anybody. So I'm just doing the social media thing. I'm on Instagram looking at artists, and I knew the whole thing would be led. It would be feelings. So I would look at artists and kind of, you know, if I felt it, or I would reach out and talk to people if I felt the conversation. Reached out to a gentleman and that's a good story. That's a good part of the story. So kind of having my beginnings of doubts, you know what I mean? Like got this thing going. I've talked to my wife. We've talked about the financials. Excuse me. I said that funky. I, funded the whole thing too. So we started talking about the financials and all that, reaching out to artists, talking to a couple people, and I'm kind of hitting some walls. Not really, you know.
Find out people want thousands of dollars.
Oh my gosh. It was, yeah. Obviously money's a big thing. I didn't want somebody to be focused on the money. I didn't want them to be doing it for the money. I want them to be into it, you know? Cause again, this is not a normal book. It's not real wordy. It's very visual on purpose. The colors mean something. Everything means something. So it was more than just a book. I wanted somebody that was going to get into it. This was one of the first great signs God gave me. Sent it to dude. He was, you know, I didn't hear from him a couple of days. And at this point, I'm like, okay, what am I? All right. You know, maybe I'm wrong here. You know, I start kind of doubting myself. Well, I'm sitting on the couch. It's Friday night next to my wife. My phone's on the side of the couch. And through my doubts and all my everything that's going in my head, it went, check your email. What I'm learning is it's not always, you know, smoke and lights and thunder. Sometimes it's just your words in your head, but it's coming from God. So check your email. And I just remember being like, okay, yeah, I really heard that. And I'm really going to sit here and check my email. Okay. So I grabbed my phone. I looked. Not only was it an email from him, saying he was down. He was very much into the script, very much liked it, and was really excited to do it.
Hey guys, this is Steve from the Dig Bible Podcast. I really hope you guys are enjoying the content, but also the sound quality. It's drastically improved since I handed that duty over to the handcrafted audio. If you've enjoyed the quality of the show and have any audio or editing needs, reach out to Jason at thehandcraftedaudio@gmail.com. And as always, keep digging.
So right off the bat, I'm like, okay, you know, I'm sorry I doubted. I'm sorry. My bad. So anyways, we get to rolling in doing the art, getting all that going out. And then we get to the black and white part. And this is super, super huge for me. It didn't have the right feel. Didn't have the right, it wasn't given, you guys have seen it. It needed color. So
yeah, you just keep talking. I'll showcase it. I'll be the Vanna White here.
Yeah. So I then you kind of got to go back to the drawing board. You got to get somebody else involved, and you got to talk to them. And I don't want to focus on money. Obviously, this was about the story. It was not about money. You know, if it cost me $1 million, whatever. Like, I knew I had to get this out. So it didn't feel like it was going the right direction. So again, it goes through my head. You do it. You color it. Like, I've never colored, you know, that's not me. I'm an arty guy, but that not like that. You know, I can cut and weld, you know, machine, but that's not me. So, I talked to my best friend, talked to my wife, and I was like, hey, I got this feeling that I should paint this thing. And, you know, she's like, okay, that's what you think you should do. So I'm laying in bed that night, and I'm like, what am I doing? I wrote a comic book. I'm going to paint a comic. What am I doing? And I said, just make a sound or something. Just let me know I'm doing the right thing and we'll be good. And I live in a neighborhood, and you know, you can kind of hear like somebody's door shut and kind of faintly hear that. So I heard that, and you know, for a split second I was like, well, you know, that's a car door. And bam, I got hit with what I would say is a trumpet. Plain and simple, as I'm sitting in front of you gentlemen right now, I heard a very powerful trumpet. It was just a one note. So I say trumpet for the visual. And I felt it. It was so loud that I felt it. And it locked me up. I hunkered down, and it came with, you know, in the Bible, whenever anybody sees an angel or God, they always say the same thing. I dropped to my knees. I put my face down. Like everybody hunkers. Mm-hmm. I felt that. I immediately felt that. And I'm not that kind of person, you know, fight or flight. I'm pretty good, but it humbled me. It was so, and I knew 1,000%, like it wasn't a sound. It was a feeling. You know, and right off, I said 10-4, understood. And you know, obviously just kept on rolling, got the paint, got everything put together. And then had to get into, you know, had to do the lettering and all that stuff, get it all out. But, he pretty much pointed me the whole direction all the way through it, finding the printer to print out the watercolor sheets. That was lead, like the whole thing. It was crazy.
That's awesome. And that truly is a step of faith, right? Stepping out to do something that you have never done. And you're doing something that you're going to finance to put this out. And you're like, okay, God, this is something I'm not, this is not my field. This is not what I'm supposed to do. But yet, no. And then you hear this trumpet, and all I can think of when I hear of a trumpet is like, oh, he's back. Like, that's all I can, you know, you think about a trumpet, you think it's game over. But something like that, and you just know that's the sign from God to say, boom, all right, I'm going to do it. And it's another step of faith. Even when you know God's pushing that direction, it still takes that faith. You still got to step out, because it is a very, very difficult thing when you can ask for all the signs you want. Look at Gideon. You know, Gideon, how many times did he say that over and over and over and over again? Gideon wanted a sign. Gideon wanted a sign. And each time God's like, oh, he's going to take another, you know, something else away. But in the end, he still shows, I am God. You just got to walk in faith. So I think that's a pretty powerful thing as well. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It was monumental. Again, the really, really broke it down to the gravity of what the story was and what I was supposed to talk about and the details missed. To go into that was really interesting. And the genealogy, I know that, you know, I got to backtrack a hair. So Romans 12:6, you guys familiar? He talks about gifts and talents. I feel compelled, so I'm going to do it. I just want to thank God right this second, because he's put this journey has been so powerful. Romans 12:6 was talking about gifts. As a distribution center manager, I've known what I'm good at. I've learned what I'm good at. I'm really good at nitpicking details. I am really good at you need efficiency in your operation, I'm your dude. I was taught grains of sand was kind of how my management style was, to focus on grains of sand, because you can't be the same as everyone else looking at the same thing. You got to get the fine details. Well, I eventually, through this book, learned that he's given me discernment, that I'm able to really pick stuff apart, figure stuff out. Going through the Bible, reading the David and Goliath story. You know how many times I read that story. Writing the book. As you saw, I focused on specifics. I even put in the book that I took liberties. I wasn't shown to talk about the entire story. You guys know the armor. There's a lot of that's a big story. I focused on, I keep saying the same word, but the faith of it. If you really look at how I broke down scenes, the scene with Samuel talking to God, you see that all you see was God's words. You didn't see Samuel talking on purpose, because I wanted it to be that 100% God, as God was telling him to do it, he was grabbing that heifer and he was heading on down the road. And then, not to give away a whole bunch of the book, but when David meets Goliath, I put a whole lot more
context, more grit in there,
man. Because what would you do if you're standing there in front of a 12 to 15 to 16 to 20 foot, 25 foot person? You know, you got to walk in there game face. So I wanted the whole thing to be based on that. And that's, again, to go back to the discernment and think about the Amalekites. Something that bothered me a lot going into this story was, I always hear about, you know, oh, God's a genocidal God because he's calling for the Amalekites to be, you know, blah, 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 blah. Dig into that story, my friend. They were cannibals. They were cannibals. I came across something very interesting. There was a 10th century, I ain't even gonna say his last name. It was a 10th century Jewish scholar that was breaking down the Bible, and he was credited for really in-depth studies. And he likened
Rashi.
Say it again.
Was it Rashi?
Yes. Yes.
Oh yeah. Yes. I got his, I got his 5-book series over here.
Yeah.
I used it as references in my book that I'm about to put out, the Epic of Esau, and about the whole reason of the killing of the animals. Is that where you're going?
Oh man.
Yes. Yeah. It blew my mind.
So, and he even calls the Amalekites shapeshifters, and you know, it's like, oh, you know, blah. Well, when else has it been called for the animals, the babies, everybody to be gone? Not, it's, you know, A, for genealogy, obviously, but B, yeah, they were shapeshifting cannibals. They were Nephilim. And that, yeah, exactly. That's crazy.
Yeah. See, I always interpreted that as, you know, they were sleeping with their livestock too, so they were swapping DNA, so they didn't want to sacrifice an animal with Nephilim DNA, possibly, you know, or even eat it, because they, you know, they're digesting it, so just kill it, which I mean, that does make sense. But then when I read that and said that no, they were witches, they were shapeshifters, and so they would, he even went into detail saying that they would transform into animals to evade capture. So he was like, no, I'm pulling out all stops. Everything's going to die.
See, man. Yes. And this is where the discernment comes in. Cause think about the pigs. Think about Legion. All of those details are connected. And that's what I'm learning. Go down to exactly what we're talking about right now. You go on down to 2 Samuel 23:30, and you got the lion-like men of Moab. So David and his 37 mighty men are cleaning up, you know, scramblers and whatnot. And one of David's mighty men takes out 2 lion-like men of Moab and a lion. So right off the bat, that's completely separate. It would have been like a group of lions or a group of this. It was this and it was that. Then you look at Moab and where they come from, and you know, their god Chemosh, and if I said that right, probably didn't. And then the fact that we know through cultures that gods were experimenting on people and stuff. It's like, yeah, lion-like men of Moab. And that's a small detail. You could just be reading, oh yeah, you know, da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah, it was figurative. I was just talking about their bravery.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. They're just talking about the bravery. Exactly. Exactly. And that's, yes. You look at Esau. How about everyone they talk about in the Bible, when they talk about their animals, they'll name it specifically. Oh, you know, he had sheep, he had cattle, you know, the point I'm making. Well, Genesis 36:6-7, they talk about Esau taking his beasts and his substance that he got from Canaan. Beasts? Well, if you look at beasts, they're not usually used in that context of ownership. Beasts are like the beasts of the land, or you talk about behemoth and leviathan, and that's, yeah, God's animal.
Wild.
So, yes. So you got Esau walking around with beasts and substance from Canaan, and then you won't go on down there to Numbers 13 and 31, and you know, it's like, all right, so what's in Canaan? It's like, and that's again another lesson I learned in this book, was like he's pointing these things out to me. And I told you guys I got that blog too that I work on, and it's just these wild little things that I come across. And they stand out to me. The other day,
I start pumping my arms too, because we're running together. I've perked up a little bit since we've got into this. The whole Nephilim, DNA corruption, Esau. I've been really deep diving into that here recently.
Okay. So fine details, right? Genesis 25:30. Therefore, was his name called Edom? Okay, you know, big deal, right? No, that's a huge deal. Think about everybody that gets renamed in the Bible. They get renamed. Abram becomes Abraham, and he's Abraham the rest of the time. Sarai becomes Sarah. Jacob becomes Israel. And they get, but they say, therefore, his name was called Edom, but he was never called Edom. I don't think that that's what that really means. If you look at that sentence and it says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red potage, for I am faint. Therefore, his name was called Edom. I think that is more of, Edom means red. I think it's more of a desire for red. Because think about the context that it's being used in. He's saying, I don't care about nothing else, but I need that right there. I pray thee, give me that. And therefore, he's called Edom, and Edom is red. But then he goes, he has Canaanite wives, and then his son has Canaanite wives. Bam, 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 you have the Amalekites, who are cannibals. So, yeah.
The Amorite clans he married into were known giants. And even when you get into Edom, that is red. You know, you could easily say allegorically that is a bloodlust, and their name Malachite, you know, is the blood liquors, and you get on down the line with all that. And then in Exodus, they talk about, you know, don't seek out necromancers, don't drink the blood. And they say that repeatedly, repeatedly. They talk about these dancing goat demons. That's because they were in the land of the Edomites, and that's what they did. They were shape-shifting witches that drank blood, and they were dancing goat demons. And, you know, Esau was a hairy, quote-unquote, man that interbred with giant clans. I talk about this in my book. He would have thrown, in the very least, he would have thrown some very strange pups.
Look, to your point, if you were going to trick somebody, if you were going to trick somebody with an animal, you're going to pick probably a sheep, right? Because think about the wool. Have you ever petted a goat? You know what I'm talking about?
I own some, so
yeah. That's a very... Of course. Yes, that is another huge, small detail. If you're going to trick somebody, you just want to trick, oh, man, he's hairy. You're going to go with some, you know. Esau was a different fellow. And it's there and it's there. And God bless, we're missing all these details. I mean, you know what I mean? We're getting them out there, but it's crazy. The what is there and unfathomable, right? This, we already know that this dude was wild. This was a beastly guy. He gave everything up for some red and yeah, it's crazy stuff.
Yeah, and that's, you get into the book of Jasher, the whole reason that took place is because he bumped into Nimrod. Nimrod was a mighty hunter. Esau was labeled a mighty hunter of the field. And the book of Jasher says that Nimrod looked upon Esau with hatred and jealousy all of his days. So the way it worded it was like Nimrod was hunting the wild man, Esau, for like bragging rights in a trophy. And they end up fighting to the death. Esau kills Nimrod and steals the garments from the Garden of God, which is the birthright of the favored son. And that fills in the whole context of that story in Genesis when he comes back and he's so desperate to just trade his birthright for this bowl of soup, because he says, you know, what use is a birthright to me when I'm dead? And Jacob's like, promise me now. And he's all urgent and stuff, because that's why he just fought three Gibborim, three giants, for the garments of God, and probably was about to die from wounds sustained in battle.
Or they thought they were going to hunt him down.
Yeah. It's probably a combination of the two. So he, you know, there he was bleeding red, about to die, and just traded everything to, his brother. And I think that was kind of like allegorically, not just food. It was, you know, feed me, shelter me, bandage me up, because I'm about to die.
You know, and you mentioned the blood too. And I heard something the other day about how it's really interesting how, like, you know, evil is always the mirror image of good. And then, you know, they always take things and that's how they mock and whatever. And then you look at, like, vampires and how that's so, it's, oh, you know, da, 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 this movies and there's this, and it's teen pop culture and cult. And it was like breaking it down how like that's like an outward bastardization of God and the bloodlines, because like that is a sacred thing. And then it really makes you think, you know, like genealogy with the a term called atavism is basically like dormant genes where something is passed through bloodlines and it takes a specific stress to bring it out. It may never bring it out, or, you know, come out, and you and I feel like that's probably what happened with Esau and anybody else that was ingesting the bloodlines. And you know, I mean, think about Moab and how that even started, or how that was incestual when they already, you know, God already made that cutoff. It's like, you can't do this anymore. And that's what happened. So I wonder if that's like actually what was spurring some of this Nephilim DNA that was in people that skipped generations. Because I think, man, going through these stories, looking at, again, David's Mighty Men, I think that's an incredible detail that we keep missing. I think most of his men were Nephilim. Like, good, you know, obviously just wanted to do the right thing. You even see Solomon. Solomon used Nephilim labor, essentially. And, I don't have it with me. Got it in my blog.
Yeah, that's one of those tricky things is with the interpretation, is because, you know, Gibel Reem was, you know, a word that was used to describe the Nephilim giants, but at the same time, you know, it was used to describe mighty warriors too. So it's one of those muddy things. It's like to try to decipher, you know, the mighty warriors from the giants.
Yeah, and I think it was just a culmination. It was just a motley crew, because it was just getting watered down, and I believe that's why the most recent within the past couple centuries are like 18 to 12 foot, because the 20 foot, the big monsters, that already got watered down, I think, essentially.
Well, Steve, I mean, if you got anything, ask him.
No, you guys are, listen, I've been on the podium. This is your jam, Justin. This is what you've been focusing on lately. So I love to see you two like giddy little schoolgirls going after it here. I love it. Because man, you guys both hit the same nerve and went with it. So, what I think is cool in that same perspective, and talking about things like shapeshifters, like the ideas of where vampires came from, you know, or at least the, because everything, you know, even in mythology, there's always something that triggers that mythology, right? And me and Justin have talked about this a bunch of different times in different ways, but, you know, how many times they talked about not drinking the blood. You know, if you go through Norse culture, they would drink the blood of their enemies because it would give them their strength, they said. You know, it was their life force. You see this throughout history. And I definitely don't think that that's done at this point in time. I still think there's groups that still do such things. But if you go back through it, it kind of makes me wonder, because I've always said the same thing about mythology. If you look through mythology, we see giants in Roman, you know, mythology. We see it in Greek mythology. We see it in pretty much everybody's history. Native American mythology, there's giants. There's always giants. But I think, and this is something between the Book of Jasher, Book of Enoch, and then, you know, that we have that Genesis 6:4, and then 8 verses later, the flood has to come and kill everything. We get such a little blip of what happened, but because I think everybody knew back then what had happened. So I look at things like, you know, we glorify things like centaurs, the minotaur, all these different things. And we're talking about a clan in the Bible that was a shape-shifting clan. This stuff was true. This stuff was real. You know, this stuff in mythology was there. We like to turn it and glorify it and put it into a package that, it's good entertainment, but it's not, it didn't really happen. But people like to forget how supernatural this world is. And this supernatural world that we're living in, just because most people deny that we're living in it now because they don't, it's fantasy to them, does not mean that it's not still that exact way today. It's just hidden from the majority of us because, you know, the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was let the world think he didn't exist. And I think that's kind of where we're at now. But I think that that's a fascinating thing because you can see this culturally across the board, this same thing, this same idea, and it plays right into what you guys are talking about.
You know, something that bothered me when I was a kid was on Wednesdays and Sundays, I would hear about Solomon's Temple and wine presses and, you know, walk on water and stuff like that. And then I'd go to school and I would hear about how we could barely even do nothing. Mm-hmm. Bend the wheel, you know, lucky to make it past 10. And it just wasn't clicking. It just like, all right, who's right, who's wrong here? Because it's a completely different story. And I'm, you know, as a kid, I remember just asking. It was like, oh, well, you know, you get told whatever you get told. And I was thinking about it. You know, it's to your point. You have a conversation with somebody and you bring up mythology. Doesn't matter what, from what area. Mm-hmm. You know, you have a conversation. You bring up conversation about God and Jesus, it goes exactly one specific direction. You know, unless it's a believer, but you know the point I'm making. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Why is it you can have a conversation with somebody about a centaur, you know, or a cyclops, and it'd be like, oh, you know, blah, 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 blah. But then you bring up this, like, oh, no. And it's twofold, but I guess, you know, it comes from the same place. It's like you said, making us believe that God didn't exist. So how did we get to this place where you can bring up all this stuff? And that it's accepted that it came from somewhere. And then that whole Anunnaki conversation drives me freaking crazy because they have something wrote down first. Well, you ain't read the Bible. Jewish people, they were moving around a lot at that time. They didn't have the opportunity to write stuff down, man. They were trying to figure out who they were. They were running from slavery. So I think that's kind of what happened. And it is happening, or still is. You look at Roman culture and how did they get away with what they did? How did they build that? Well, you know, I don't know if you guys seen it, but like historians, they say it's basically like the plays and the Colosseum, and that's how they pushed their agenda. That's how they got things through. Where are we at now? What's happening now? It's the same thing. It's been happening the whole time. The whole time. I think that's what happened was they rebelled. They came down and just were like, hey, we're gods. You know, and you gotta spin the story. You gotta make all these people believe that you're gods and you can do this and this. And that's why everybody has a flood story. That's why everybody has this and has that. Well, of course they do. They pulled it from here and they tricked all these thousands of people. So then you go way, way, way down the road and then, oh yeah, yeah. You know, we came from this and we came from that. And they're just spinning it all the way through. And that's where we are now, of how everything's so controversial in the Christian market, because they've been fighting it. This is the same battle the entire time. They've been trying to trick us to get dominion, take a birthright, and just kick us out. Plain and simple. It's been the same fight the whole time.
So let's bring this full circle.
Under the sun.
Let's bring this full circle. Your guy who wrote a comic book, Dave and Goliath, we're talking about how this same thing is being brought up and how it is, you know, it was used in theater and plays to push agendas. What do we see now? We see the MCU. We see, you know, the comic books and the movies are making out of this. And what are they? What was Thor? You know, what are these, they present themselves as super powered beings. Some of them actually depicted as gods like Thor, and there are saviors. this is what the this that's the Anunnaki lie, right? They're coming to give the knowledge that the gods were not willing to give them. You know, it's the Prometheus idea. It's the, you know, he's bringing fire that the gods wouldn't give everybody. It's all these different references of how they're going to save us. But they're presented as, you know, basically they're presented as gods. I mean, all of them to some degree, even though they're, some of them are, you know, that Iron Man, you know, he's Tony Stark, whatever, but you have a, you know, Hulk, you know, he's superhuman strength. Something happened, but he's a superhuman strength and he's there. He can do all these things. You know,
so Tony Stark's even more interesting, I think, because he's just a normal human and he fulfills Satan's promise. Ye shall be as gods, and he done it all on his own. Technology, AI brought him there.
Technology will increase. I mean, we're seeing these things, I think, right in front of us. And if you go back through the movies over the last, I don't know, 20, 30 years, you can see that, you know, 10, 15 years later, we start seeing things are, they kind of was kind of foretold, you know, things like this. You can go back before that and look at Jules Verne, and he's telling us these things, oh, like submarines and helicopters and things like, and all of a sudden here they are. And you just wonder where that information comes from. So I think it's pretty cool to think about. I think it's a little scary at the same time, because we know this stuff is prophesied, that these things are going to happen, that things are going to, you know, knowledge will increase. And if we've noticed anything, knowledge other than the Bible increasing usually doesn't lead us to good places. Not saying the things like the internet can be a powerful thing. They're amazing. If it's used for good, it can be used for good, but the internet more often than not is used for an evil purpose. And it's, you know, there's a dark underbelly to everything that we see. So I think it's just really important to look at that, muse that, because like Justin just said, there's nothing new under the sun. This stuff has all happened before. It's just, you know what? We have different technology, so we're seeing it. It's the same thing. It's just in a different package. And it's escalating.
You know what's crazy? You look at ancient sculptures, rock carvings and stuff, and they always have this like mysticism of like UFOs, right? We've seen those, like, oh, this and this. And then you go on down the road, and then here we are, doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. I thought about that the other day. It's like, we're doing the same thing. We haven't gotten any further in that whole UFO debate since rock carvings and cave paintings. We haven't seen UFOs. UFOs have not come down here. We have not made connections with people from another planet, but the entire time that we have records of history, we've been chasing that. To me, and, you know, to go back to lessons from the Bible, learning to look at things differently. That's on purpose, man. That is on purpose. That is you telling me in 2024, we have not figured out or found any shred of evidence how they made the pyramids. At this point, that's on purpose. I saw a YouTube video the other day. It's new tomb discovery. Forgive me, I can't remember what it's called, but it's that Sardiq guy that he's the whole Egyptologist. Well, anyways, they're in there. They're finding this new tomb, and everyone's looking at the two sculptures, statues, whatever. And the camera guy, he's panning around, and when he pans, that light goes across the wall, and there's giants painted with people, regular people. You can see it plain as day, and you can see him just pan and pan on back and look back at everybody else. And it's like, you know, it either is or it isn't. There's no in between, and it's like
ancient people had no depth perception.
Yeah, yeah, we. It's on purpose that we don't know how the pyramids, it's on purpose we don't know about the UFO. It's on purpose because it all comes. You can't talk about this without bringing up God. It's going to come. So they can't, and you know who they is, but they can't come out and be like, yeah, here we are, because that's the other part of that. So they have to keep tricking us into the UFO thing and the blah, blah, blah. It's like, we've been chasing this thing forever. It's on purpose now, man. It is plain and simple. The same thing, you know, they, as you said, nothing new under the sun. They've been doing the same thing, tricking humans, because that's the thing about humans. You know, God says it's in our hearts. It's who we are. That's why we're not perfect.
Our people suffer from lack of knowledge.
Yes. And
we're dealing with higher entities. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're our elder brothers, basically.
It's in our nature to worship or to look to something. Yeah, it's just who we are. It's how we were made, obviously. So then you get these sneaky dudes sliding in, like, "Hey, man, I'm a UFO," you know. And it's again.
They roll up with leather jackets and on a motorcycle.
That was so the fines. Hey. That was so the fines the way you said that.
Yeah. But I mean, you think about that, and nothing's changed. We have not broken that barrier this entire time. It's got to be on purpose.
But look at the you know, that Ancient Alien show now has been out for like 30 seasons, something crazy, and they just keep
we're about
pushing
to confront
that.
Giorgio, man.
Oh, you know, it's like, dude, come on. You know, there won't be no sequel. Like, what do you got? You got nothing new? Like,
yeah. Me and Steve found out that guy from Ancient Aliens at Giorgio or whatever, he's going to be in our area for some kind of convention. Me and Steve's going to bum rush him and hit him with the truth. He already knows the truth, but we're going to let him know that we know.
We know the truth.
You can give him the real truth. That'll be a very fun conversation.
One of us has got to run up. We're going to run up there with cameras, like right there. All right, tell us the truth. No, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Well, before we close out and the wrap back to the book, for those that are asking this question, you know, there's been several, you know, books and retellings of this David and Goliath story. Besides the artwork, what is different and unique about your book that would want somebody to get this, and who is the target audience in your mind?
Yeah, great question. I wanted to do something completely different. I wanted to focus on the major details that we keep going and skipping. I wanted to, as a guy that for 14 years was challenged on giving the why to everything, every single day, you know, because that's management, is why. That's what this book was the why. I wanted to fill in the gaps that were, you know, lack of a term, better term, missed in this story. And why this story, why is David and Goliath such an impactful story? Why is it so important? You know, is it just the fact that he killed the giant? Absolutely not. If you look, no spoilers, but I don't even use Goliath's name in the story. It's not once mentioned, because he's not important. What's important is the walk with God. So that's why somebody would enjoy the story. And that's why I want people to read this story, is because it's a connection. I feel like it's not just a book. It's not just a comic book. It's a connection.
You plug in all the fringy too. That was my perspective when I seen it. I'm like, you're getting this story and you're actually getting it from an ancient Jewish perspective and getting the supernatural and quote unquote fringe stuff in there. And I love the application because it's palpable for young adults. And these are the next generation that needs to know these things that we're just learning in our late 30s and 40s.
Exactly. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. Cause that's how I felt close to the story and to David. You know, going with the Hebrew and staying with the Orthodox Jewish Bible, I wanted to be there. I wanted to. There was a lot of blood, man.
That's the whole Old Testament.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
sex and blood.
And how beautiful.
That's why
of a book.
They say get biblical. There was yes. a lot of.
Yes.
Marvin Gaye going on in the ancient times.
I feel like God was telling me, we got to start talking more about this stuff. We got to start talking about the gritty, the stuff that we don't want to talk about. We need to start talking about it. So yeah,
and you got a whole universe here, dude. I mean, I don't know how far you want to go with this, and if you haven't thought of this, allow me to tee it up for you. You keep talking about DC universe and everything else. I mean, this could be FBU, you know, fringy biblical universe. Yeah. And you could do like a whole series of these short story comics and just all the fringy topics that me and Steve and our podcast talk about all the time. Everything from fallen angels to the demigods to the Nephilim giants to the shape-shifting Amalekites. Dude, the possibilities are endless with this.
Yeah, no, thank you. That's the goal. I'm in it to win it. You know, I told God I'm down. I've got a really cool Daniel story. It's just on Daniel 3 and 4. Chapters 3 and 4. It's just like when Nebuchadnezzar turns to the man beast and stuff. I got a really cool one.
There's another hairy man.
Yes. And I've got a fun one I'm working on. It's Jonah, but it's Jonah and Leviathan. So like I'm really focused on, you know, as you said, the frenzy. I'm focused on like the really abstract, the stuff that's there that we keep missing. You know, you check here and you check here, and then everything's connected. Yeah.
If you need some characters for concept art, me and Steve will allow you to depict us in your fringy Bible universe.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll throw y'all in there.
I can be the whale. Yeah. Anyway, let everybody know where they can find where they can find Five Stones, where they can follow you, where they can follow your blog. Let everybody know where they can get in touch with you.
Yes, sir. So fivestones.bigcartel.com is my e-commerce site for the book. I'm also on Instagram, E Adam Ferris. And my blog, if you have a second, I'd really appreciate you guys checking it out. It's eadamferris.substack.com. I've got a bunch of stuff up there. It's really important to me. I'm having a lot of fun writing this blog and crazy things that I'm finding in there. You know, everybody, you got a second, please check it out.
Awesome. Well, thank you, man, so much for coming on. This has been an enlightening conversation. I didn't know where it was going to go, but you know what? It always is exactly where God needs it to go. So we appreciate your time. And Justin, as always,
keep digging.
We thank you for listening to the Dig Bible Podcast. Questions, comments, or future episode ideas? We'd love to hear from you at thedig423@gmail.com. If you enjoy our content, don't forget to share, subscribe, and check out our Facebook group at The Dig Podcast. Remember, you can't lean on a shovel and pray for a hole. You gotta dig.